This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
Hey folks, Sir Richard Wentworth. When you're ready to buy a car, True Car is changing car buying forever. Yes, True Car helps buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, True Car users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and True Car users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the True Car mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the True Car certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With True Car, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the True Car mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
All right. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV after show for Downton Abbey Series Season 5. This is Episode 9, the finale episode, the Christmas special. Happy Christmas to you, ladies.
Happy Christmas.
There you go. I'm John Comerford. Joining me in the studio is Courtney Stewart.
What's up, everybody?
And Tamara Bird.
Hey, everybody. Happy Christmas. Happy New Year.
Well, this is what you want in a Christmas episode from Downton Abbey. Aww. It was gorgeous. It had me laughing. They had me crying. It was full. It had so many storylines. And first of all, your overall impressions, ladies?
Well, I was about 15 minutes into the show and, you know, just sort of enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And I always watch it twice before we come up. And so the first one I watch is always just sort of, you know, to enjoy it and to, you know, watch it as others would.
And then you do it for work.
And then I do it for work. And the first time I watched it, about 15 minutes in, and I tweeted this, I said, you know, gosh, this is why I love this show.
Yeah.
You know, I remember why, because I've had some frustrations this season, and I love that every year the Christmas special they don't disappoint, except for when Matthew was killed.
Well, but even though that happened, it was a great episode.
Yeah. And Julian Fellowes never ceases to impress me at the Christmas special, and I love that.
Yeah, he pulls out all the stops. I mean, it looked gorgeous. I just wanted to start by talking about the beautiful shots.
Courtney, what was your?
It was just overall just echoing exactly what you said. Like, I left with that.
Exactly.
Like, for all the complaints we have, they weren't moving it along fast enough this season, and this wasn't happening right, and this person was annoying, blah, 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 blah. In the end, I still am like, I love you so much.
And I will come back next season. I can't wait.
I'll wait another whole year.
I will.
Yeah. I was flooring the train shots coming through the countryside, and even in the train. I mean, we visited Brancaster Castle. We'd never been there, so there, it's a whole new area covered completely well. So many wonderful shots of that place and the countryside.
I love the one where they had the castle in the background and the cars going across the little motorway.
All that green and then the gray and the fog. We were out hunting and the dog.
So much for that. And even impeccable. When we weren't at Brancaster Castle, because you remember, I was pointing out every time you saw the Dowager and Isabel walking through a graveyard. And here we had them in the garden.
They were in gardens every time.
Gorgeous, too.
I bet Julian Fellows heard us talking about
it. Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was.
I'm sure that's what happened.
So, the ruins of the castle, and then they had the lunch there and stuff like that.
At one moment, when we were walking through the ruins, I was like, come on, why are we
in the ruins?
We people would not see the ruins. And then they ended up at the outdoor picnic area. Right. So it made sense.
Oh, that's right.
That's why that's happening.
And even when we came back for Christmas 1924, and we were back at Downton, and I mean, just the shot of everything in the snow, and then you go downstairs into the kitchen, you got the bacon-wrapped turkey.
Bacon-wrapped turkey? I'm in!
Yeah, everything looks so lush. And
their Christmas tree was even just like, oh my God, it was sumptuous, and the kids.
And Highclere Castle, where Downton is shot, tweeted a bunch of pictures of their Christmas tree as well, which was, I don't know if it was the exact tree or it was the similar tree. Mm-hmm. So pretty. Mm-hmm. Also, the dinner shots at Brancaster Castle, those, you know, that there was that one great shot where, you know, when we get into the story, we'll get there, but, you know, you're sort of looking over one of the guests' shoulders, and then the jib comes up, and you see the whole room, and you see the length of the table and the wall coverings.
And really heightened when we went from the dinner that Carson and Hughes and Daisy, and he was a little bit put off, but Daisy was going to eat with us. And you had the downstairs, and they looked very modest, and then you cut right to the big splendor
of lush.
So that was nice. Like, whoa, yeah, that's good.
Good editing. Good work.
Yeah, okay, so I was overwhelmed and loved all the shots of that. And the shot selection as well.
Again, God bless Julian Fellows, because he brought us all back.
Absolutely.
As much as we were critics.
Really? Yeah, and you got to enjoy it for the visual aspects of it. Now let's get into the storylines of it.
Okay. Do we have any storylines?
Just a few storylines to cover.
Good gracious.
Well, I want to start off with the whole Brancaster Cinderby thing because, you know, obviously Cinderby has decided that this is where he's going to, make his, because when they had gone to London, I guess it was, he was talking about how he was going to have them.
Exactly. For the season.
And wants to make his mark or something. And I'm going, okay, whatever. And then it's here, and he's the man of the house and brings his own butler. Apparently is a big no-no. Causes all kinds of trouble.
Interesting, though, just a little thing about, so we're at Brancaster Castle, which is the owner is renting out. So which it's another one of those reflections of how the times are changing.
Which could have happened to Downton if all kinds of things didn't occur or didn't go right.
Exactly.
But this is what could have happened to them to some degree. And so that and may still be.
May still be in the making.
So, that's what could, a foretelling, maybe? Maybe? Foreshadowing?
Perhaps.
But still, it was lots of fun to be there. But let's get into Lord Cinderby and his consternation and upset about not, you know, everybody bothering him about inviting Shrimpy and Susan.
I don't want those people here, sort of, right?
And even when he's when he's out there going to the shooting range or
with Mary
and her trying to get him to change his mind about that and him standing fast and saying no and really putting himself, you know, on his high horse just to get
really
knocked down nicely.
Of all people who can talk to you from a high horse, it's Mary, right?
Yes, she does a very good job of it.
I love that she was incredibly diplomatic in how she was saying to him, for God's sake, set it aside, you know?
Yeah.
And, boy, he wouldn't have it. He literally walked away.
Just ignored her.
And I thought it was also the irony of having a butler who is highfalutin as well and being a pain in your side because of it. So I'm going, well, there you go. There's a little karma in play.
It works well in that family, apparently.
So I want to talk about those two storylines together just because they kind of coincide. So his butler stole has decided that he's going to snub Thomas. I'm
right.
sorry. Let's go Tom Branson first.
Tom Branson.
And then Barrow, of course, and, yes. you know, and insult him as well.
Great scene, though, when they're yeah. downstairs, Stowell and Branson, yeah. not Branson, Stowell and Thomas
right.
are downstairs,
no.
and Thomas is, like, trying to keep it's that stiff like, upper lip, be, and he's just, like, oh, good God, yeah. you have really done your homework yeah. before we got here, right?
He's just introducing himself.
You know,
the guys, yeah.
Very funny, though.
It was very, yeah. And right then, you knew you could look the look on Barrow's face. You know, okay, it's, something's not going to go right, and
yeah.
Barrow's going to be behind it.
Yeah.
And he knows everything.
And also, I love that when Mary found out about all this, you know, she knows it's going
to
be his.
Goes
yeah,
right
and Stoll's not well liked downstairs and all that mm-hmm. other stuff. He knows exactly what to do. Can't Barrow do something about
it? Like, he's the one. We
exactly.
know that
they
he
know the go to person.
He's our go to guy.
He's our go to guy.
Exactly.
But he endeared us back. Well, he endeared me back to him again.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
Always that up and down.
And they did much more of, you know, putting him as the hero yeah. in this particular episode.
Right.
That particular
yeah. Well, you know, one of our Twitter fans pointed out that he was such a great champion of Sibby,
yeah.
or Sybil,
yeah.
Sybil rather,
right.
when, you know, when things were going on with her. And so
yeah.
he was ready to, you know, kind of get back in our good favor in this episode.
But here, I mean, I thought it was the whole thing going on because it was a great dynamic because, you know, because of what was happening with Anne and Bates, Bates is not going to be there.
Right,
so
of course.
He has to step up and be the valet
mm-hmm.
to Lord Grantham. And, you know, as soon as he's assuming that position, he's going, no, you're going to be a
footman also.
You're going to be a footman. And he's just going, what?
What are you talking
what?
About?
So that's sets everything in motion. Then, of course, Mary says to Baxter, isn't there something we could do? Get Barrow on it. And yeah. Barrow comes up
I know,
says,
just the guy.
Very
just
quickly.
The guy.
Exactly.
And he got all up on it.
He did.
Right.
So
that,
I mean, it was great. So it's just a little note to say to the chef, hey, you know, don't give Cinderby any meat or whatever.
Give him something plain.
Yes, exactly. But the dressing down. It, right in front of everybody, and I was so shocked by that. I didn't expect Cinderby to go that crazy.
He went nuts.
I think it partly goes to what Stowell was saying, which was
yeah.
his lordship, his title
yeah,
is about
so
10
new.
Minutes
it's
old,
exactly.
So he doesn't maybe know how to conduct himself.
Mm-hmm. New money,
or he's a, you know, I think he's a hothead.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a self-righteous
yeah.
hothead.
Well, Atticus yeah. even said that he can't handle it when things go out
yeah.
of order and stuff like that. But yeah, I was just shocked.
And
by
Rose
how much
said he was
so
a control
rude.
Freak too.
I was just shocked
but
by the dress.
So rude.
Yeah.
It's so nasty.
And not only to Stoll, but then he calls, you know, Barrow a stupid fool.
Stupid fool. Don't
in front of
do
everybody.
That.
Exactly.
Everybody.
It's so out of character for those dinner parties to get that bold
and
harsh.
Yeah. And was it, I loved how everybody tried to make. Oh, so.
So anyway, do you want to see the crowd?
Exactly.
Yeah. They're fantastic.
So that part
fabulous.
Was just lots of fun. And even afterwards, Lord Grantham talks about how unpleasant it was. And
yes.
And everything. And,
very
yeah,
unpleasant.
And, it was. And I was still going, well, why would you do it in front of everybody? I still don't get that part of it. But it made great TV. I love that part.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, let's just forgive it for that reason.
And because of it, it heightened the whole storyline. So congratulations for carrying that
he
farther.
That.
Because that now Barrow is like, no, I'm not just going to take Stoll down a couple pegs.
Oh, I've got
to Lord Cinderby now.
Mm-hmm.
And again, nicely done, you know, ingratiating himself to Stoll, saying, oh, that was terrible what he said. Hey, he called me a fool. So, you know, we're... you know, two peas in a pod here.
Well, and Stoll's quote was, I know all about his dirty fingered lordship.
Yes.
Well,
dirty fingers.
And Thomas wanting to be surprised by him, so go ahead and tell me. Over a drink, and the guy's drinking too much. Nice.
Yeah, here, let me pour you a little more,
yeah.
which
yeah.
is what I've been doing today.
Yes, we are drinking in honor of the Christmas special. We're getting
yeah.
some
of my glug.
Spiked
yes.
wine.
Yeah.
So here we go. That's the rubber, thank you.
So,
were you at all surprised that the way it went down and how Thomas orchestrated this whole thing?
I didn't expect it.
Yeah, when she
surprised.
Walked in, did anybody?
Well, when the feet stepped out of the car, I was like, oh, no, he does not have a woman. I was not expecting that when the car pulled up. I
when
was like,
the feet
really?
Stepped
and
out.
When you saw it as a kid, I was yeah. like, you're kidding. It's the joke. No, no way.
That's
but.
Awesome.
Really? Where did that even come from?
Yeah, and I can only imagine that this is Diana Clark, of course, we're talking about, but can you imagine she's getting this letter, you know, yes, come, bring the child, and she's
I'll
going,
alone,
I get to go to the
finally.
Whole big,
I get to go to the big house.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
That's terrible.
And then
terrible.
The way she walked in and everybody just... The look.
Yeah, it's like
the, what?
Do you remember that? Maybe our
everything screeches to a
yeah.
halt.
Like, yeah. Who is that?
Yeah, and Rachel being so on it, like, oh, well, who's all right? Who's going? You know, and she's
but
Rose even more so.
She was the one. Tell me
tell
who
me
that is.
Tell me
her
name.
And I will say,
name.
Tell me her
yes.
name. Tell me. And she was ready to go.
Amazing.
Rachel? All right. you?
I'm saying, where did that come from? Nice. Because she's been in trouble so many times.
Exactly.
She knows
she's
how to lie and
well
get out of it.
Practiced.
Yeah.
That was smooth.
Yeah, it was very smooth.
His heart attack in the corner was not.
Yeah, not so smooth.
Just very
You're
tired.
So right. Yeah. I'm tired.
Not yeah. tired at all.
Okay, but one of the moments in that scene that I loved so much is Rose is over talking to Diana going, Diana, my good friend, I haven't seen you in a while. And then over comes Mary going, hello, Diana, yes, we haven't seen you in so long. Lord Grantham, yes, we haven't seen you since we've seen you at Downton.
And then, Rachel leaves, and then it's like, what is going on? And then, the look of Lord Grantham going, Diana says, I wish he could come over.
And
speaking
Mary,
about Cinderby.
And Lord Grantham's like,
he goes,
who? And Mary.
Now look on Mary's face. Yeah, it's like, Dad.
Seriously?
Got a clue.
It's almost the same expression.
Priceless.
Yeah,
priceless.
That was priceless. And even when he understood it, it probably took him, the extra 5 seconds to figure it out. Crikey.
Crikey.
Oh, God, that was precious. That was perfect.
It was hilarious.
It was fantastic.
It was very good.
Oh, crikey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then it all comes clear. And the look, the acting was amazing. Lord Cinderby looked when he was gutted there and just completely humiliated
and couldn't get it back together.
Yeah.
He didn't even try to get it back
and
together.
And Rachel's like almost oblivious. Yeah. Oh, okay. Like, oh.
Really? Daniel? Yeah. You know that's Lord Cinderby's name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What a coinkydink.
Yeah, and I'm going, I she probably knows. I mean, I'm
she
guessing
probably,
that when she thinks about it,
she's
a smart one, but she. What is she going to do at that moment? I mean, it would have been ugly for everybody. So, but that she probably knows at some point we'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
I hope.
If we spend any time with them, I'm guessing that will come out.
I hope.
But anyway, what I also liked was afterwards.
Because of what I'll talk about in predictions. We have a long
day. Oh, okay, great. We do have a long day. Okay. So, Mary's talking to Rose and she's saying, how did Stoll know? And then Rose confronts.
Puts it together.
Oh, she confronts Stoll and the whole thing. And then to twist it around even more, to just get him even
more.
I'd like you to be polite. While I'm deciding whether or not to tell
Lord Cinderby,
I want you to be more polite to Tom. So that cures that whole thing.
Which is what we were going for in the first place.
And the look on Mary is like, wow, Rose, nicely done. Yeah, because I think the way that she orchestrated that whole end result there.
Handled it.
And you got to see the cheering of Rose as well.
Yeah, she Olivia Pope that situation.
She did. Yes, she
did. Rose, if you don't know Scandal's lead character.
Look at
that. There you go. Thank you very much. Yeah. And we really got to, she's no longer the one who's getting in trouble. She's the one, fixing everything, and I thought that was really nice. And by the way, then when Lord Cinderby says the whole thing about how much he appreciates her and she's clever and kind and generous and all that other stuff.
Oh, God, I loved that.
That was a great scene. But it was also a weird scene for me because, he comes out there saying, Lord Cinderby says, to Lord Grantham, Mary, and Rose,
let's keep it in here,
and stuff like that. Because I know you don't want to cause any more pain to Atticus or to Rachel. And I'm going, no, you just want everybody's silence.
You're shady.
So you don't have to face up.
And everybody, of course.
To the depths of your humiliation, as you call it.
Exactly. And everybody's so willing to go. Yeah, okay, we won't say anything.
We don't want confrontation.
I guess that's what you would do, but it was a little weird. Because, you have no allegiance to Rachel? Or is it, you don't want to, is it one of those things where you don't want to be shot because you're the messenger of bad news?
I don't know.
Is it none of your business?
I think the none of your business part is more of it.
And it's sort of how all those aristocrats handled things. The moment he said, Rose, my dear, you are kind, clever, and resourceful. We are lucky to have you. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, your parents are welcome at our house.
Yeah, exactly. But my point is, it's kind of a backhanded compliment. Because, it took me this for you to see that?
Exactly.
I'm still the same person. The only thing that's changed is I know who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, no, to me, is leverage. The thing. Yeah.
Oh, it's... Yeah. Screwed up, babe.
Yeah,
don't worry.
Clearly.
I get that. Yeah. And then Lord Grantham standing up for her again, she will love you forever if you'll let her.
That's who she is.
And he's like, I know that.
Lord Grantham really redeemed himself this episode.
Yeah.
He had the opportunity to just be, right?
He was
the kind and loving father, husband, patriarch. Father-in-law, he really had the opportunity to all of those things and be the head of the family in this episode, and I loved that.
Stubborn and dumb, like he's
right because he has been all this whole series. He's been silly, a bit silly.
Yes.
Oh, and he got his silly in, which we'll get to eventually.
Well, yeah, and a little bit of silly there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who knows what's going to happen to Stoll? We don't know, but that's nice. And Barrow kind of redeems himself again. But yes. I love that he goes, the lengths he'll go.
Right?
And we're going, yay, how horrible for Diane. But yay!
He did it.
No, but he did. He did. Diana said as she got into the car, you saved, I know you did it to save him, but you also saved me. It was great humiliation.
That's what she said to Rose, but the whole thing was set in motion to get Cinderby, and I felt horrible for Diana Clark. I mean, she came all the way out there to experience
that. Well, she's in a horrible situation. Hey, let's just face it. Yeah.
That's it.
I mean,
That's right. You can't have top billing. That's right.
You don't have any rights.
I don't even about that.
You know the man's married with kids.
That's it. So
why did you have his baby? In 1920.
There you go. 24.
1923.
No, no, well, it was probably in 1919. Right,
yeah, exactly.
The kid was, what, six or seven?
Exactly. Right.
So.
Exactly.
Bad idea, girl.
So. All right, so that, I guess we can move on to the next thing. I thought Rose was particularly good in this episode. I thought
they
gave her
lovely.
Great things to do, great things to play. And they even kept her that youthfulness when he said there was a gramophone in the room. She's like, oh, yeah.
And when they all arrived to Brancaster Castle, she's like, oh,
very excited.
Okay, I know I'm the one who's supposed to have the news, and I don't on this. Because she's off to do Cinderella. Mm-hmm.
It's already done.
I saw the trailer came out a couple weeks ago. Yeah. I think I tweeted it, and I hope people saw it. It looks so amazing. But is she coming back next series? But
I have not heard
anything.
Okay. Predictions.
No, we'll get to that later. All right. So while we're still at Brancaster Castle, let's talk about Mary's new suitor.
What do you mean, new suitor? What are you talking about? I have no idea.
Well, I'm hoping that everybody will be happier because he's a lot taller than Charles Blake.
He's taller, and he's got great eyes, and he's hot.
There you go.
One of our Twitter fans, Anna, my friend in Ireland, she says, new fella, dye his hair, and he's the image of Matthew.
Okay.
Right?
So you obviously.
I approve. Darker hair. I like the eyes. He's tall and he doesn't look goofy.
Yeah.
Yes. There is a lot more to his character that we don't know about.
Oh,
I don't know anything. I'm assuming he's going to be back next series.
Well, they were very tight to the vest then with who he is and what he
is. But she liked that car. Yeah.
Right. But he's got things going on.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, did you like him?
I did like him. Okay. I liked him in the Imitation Game too.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yes. And he's good. He's great in The Good Wife. Let's put it that way.
Oh, he's in The Good Wife.
I love him in The Good Wife.
Yeah, he's terrific. Yeah. I've never seen him be bad in anything. I think the guy's amazing.
No, but he was very charming. Yes. I loved that he was kind of matching her in her sort of coyness and her, you know, giving and taking at the same time.
Yeah, they
which
had
is,
a great little interplay.
Yeah, moment. That's always fun to see.
That's Spencer.
And I like that he kind of trumped her a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially in the end, because she's like running out to the car.
Yeah,
right? She was like,
oh.
Don't go.
If you didn't see it, when you watch it, watch her left hand. Because she's like standing there, her hands like totally giving her away. She's like, what she wants to do is go like this, come back. I'm telling you, that's what happened.
We haven't seen Mary that thirsty in quite some time.
And he is a tall drink of water.
There
you go. I love the whole thing. Like, you know, she's talking about the car. Oh, wow, the car.
Yeah.
Nice chariot.
Oh, it's yours.
Oh, and then he hops in it so rakishly. Speed up. I have to say, though, that shot of them outside when the car is driving down the road past the castle, the only thing I was thinking was Matthew.
Get a robot on your car!
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And it was happening in a Christmas show.
Like, that exactly.
Guys. It's like, that was, maybe not the best
Don't
shot.
Go so fast.
Okay, so one of the things that he said was, she says, well, do you shoot much? And he says, with this little, you know...
Yeah. It's not my best.
Grin. Yeah. Not at this level.
Yeah.
Which would imply that he's, you know, lower than that. But, or he's probably an Olympian or something like
knows?
That.
We don't know. Yeah, that's that, know, yeah. That'll be interesting to find out.
Yes, it will be. Mm-hmm.
So,
but Mary's very impressed with him.
We want to find out, which is a good sign.
Shooting's not his real, real sport. It's cars.
It's cars.
Yes. But I thought he was more than capable. I thought he was a good match for her.
Yes.
Bested her in a few things. And I think that repartee is going to go along nicely next series.
Appreciate she that. Likes that, too, as much as we do.
Yay. That'd be great. So,
goes with
wonderful.
Her new haircut.
That sassy new haircut.
I don't know. Did I say I wasn't going to refill my glasses?
Yeah,
it's almost
that.
Empty.
Well, you might have to do that.
We got a long way to go. You might need to.
I do.
We've already talked to Mary. Let's get on to Edith, because poor Edith, not so poor this episode.
No, thank God.
We may be able to finally retire the hashtag poor, poor Edith.
Yeah, maybe.
This was a beautiful episode for her.
You realize it's just the setup.
She did wear a red dress.
Yes.
It was Christmas.
But like, oh, come on.
No, okay.
It doesn't matter. Like, she's usually in browns and oranges and like dark.
How's yours?
Oh, okay.
So I got here way before Courtney.
That was very... All right, so
it's okay, you can tell me.
We're happy with this change. Now, you guys don't you think that they're just setting it up so that we can play have more poor Edith the next season?
Yes, because of course Faith will show up and she'll be in love with somebody else something, and it'll be a disaster.
Right, that's predictions, but that's sort of where we're headed.
But for 90 minutes, we could appreciate it.
Wasn't it great that we finally get to say, "Geez, would you please do something different with her?" Yeah.
Early on, she was like, Mary's like, come to mommy. And Edith is like, come to me.
Yes. It's not obvious at all.
No, Marigold.
And, you know, Grantham is figuring out when's the best time to let the secret out.
Yeah, of course. Like, saying, no,
it's not
our
secret to tell. Until he has a scare with, angina. And I thought that scene between them was very, very sweet.
It was one of my favorite scenes in the show.
Yeah.
Definitely the moment that I said, thank you, Juliet.
Yeah.
So now everybody knows, and she says, I want your forgiveness, Father. And he says, I think... I need to forgive you, but you need to forgive me.
I need your forgiveness as much as you need mine.
And and as I was watching it, she says, you know, please, Papa, do I have your forgiveness? And he says, and I said it with him the first time I watched it, oh, my darling, because I knew that was what he was going to say. And that's because as much as we don't see the affection between the parents and children in this show, it's absolutely there when push comes to shove.
Yeah.
He's there for his daughters.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a daughter of, dad with three girls, I get it.
And it was especially because, you know, the last few episodes we've seen him talking about, oh, God, I hope they don't tire her and things. He's just
saying horribly cool things. Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah. It was, you know, finally they had a moment. It's like, thank you. She's your daughter.
Yeah.
Well, and also really acknowledging that it wasn't just about making a mistake. It was about Gregson being an honorable man, about her loving her daughter, and, you know, really sort of acknowledging that for all time this situation has been happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to deal with it, and let's be kind about it, and let's honor Gregson's memory. Mm-hmm. Let's, I don't know if the word's honor, but be appropriate to your child and really, you know, help her along the way she deserves to be helped.
Mm-hmm. But they're still going to keep it in-house.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll
Somebody made the comment saying that it's not just for her, but for Marigold.
Right,
because
if
Marigold's the bastard child that don't have a daddy, it's just as horrible for her.
And people will use that term.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course they will.
And still not telling Mary.
Don't. Because Mary's still a biatch. Okay?
Exactly.
I don't know if we were at that part or not, but they had a really great exchange.
Exactly.
Again. I'll find it eventually, but I was wow,
what she
Mary.
Says, yeah, when they were talking about Tom going to America.
That's the whole thing about...
Yeah.
You're leaving me here with you.
Yeah, that she's not so sad about him leaving as much as she's sad about her staying left home with Edith. That was like, what, really? Okay, but when that happened, I was going, oh, come on.
How old are we? Are we still in grade school?
That's what I'm saying. And I get it. I know familial things. I get sibling rivalry and the whole thing.
No, do you?
Yeah,
really?
Just a little bit.
Really? How many siblings do you have?
I have six. I'm in the sixth to seventh. So I understand all those things. But
you were a baby, though.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, I mean, at 35, really, you're still running the same number?
I would like to answer that question, too.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Okay.
There are those that are still running the same number.
I'm sure you are, but we left it way behind.
I'm the middle of three girls.
Okay. She's the middle of three girls.
She's the middle of three. That's why we get along.
You really are sisters.
I mean, in a way, it sort of seems silly that Mary throws these barbs sometimes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's be honest, the family dynamic continues.
I know.
And in certain situations, it becomes more important when there are high stakes, and this is a high stakes family.
I understand all those things. I don't disagree with all those things. What I'm saying is, as a viewer, it's tiresome.
I agree.
I think you need to move that along.
Yeah.
I get bored with it.
I laugh out loud every time, so I don't think I'm tired yet.
Well,
I find it amusing. I'm like, you're such
a... there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
But it doesn't show any growth. Yeah. That is true. So it's not like there was any evolution in their relationship.
You know, just talking a little bit about Mary being snarky when she was with Mr. Handsome, the new Matthew, the brown-haired Matthew.
Tolbert.
You know, she's throwing back at him during the picnic.
Right.
And I thought, does she think that's charming?
Oh, yeah. When she's...
Does she?
I would probably say
yeah, that. Because I think she's playing hard to get.
Or is she just so used to, you know, being the princess of everything? And I don't know. But she's a woman who, you know, definitely speaks her mind whatever it is and however it serves her. And it does seem a little ridiculous sometimes,
But moving on to that, to the next part of Edith's storyline. So she gets that wonderful moment with Dad, and you know, Marigold gets more embraced by the family, if not Mary. But she gets to meet Bertie Pelham,
excuse me.
Who's a third cousin to Lord Hexham, I believe, who owns Brancaster. And he doesn't seem to be too impressed with that, or that he even really cares about third cousins.
I'm just the agent, and I have no aspirations.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. But they seem to really get along. And
they
I thought, well, we got another love interest for Edith, too.
He wasn't handicapped. He's her age.
Yeah. There you go. So in Edith's world, that's a huge coup.
It is. Nice callback, Courtney.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Give a girl a break.
There you go.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Do we like that pairing? Do you think that's going to continue? What do we think?
I do. I think it's fun. I think it's interesting because we got to see Edith, you know, become someone new with working with a paper and becoming a journalist. Some of that journalism stuff was coming in with her asking questions.
Yeah.
But then in the end, when he asks her, do you have any burning aspirations? She's like, nope.
Yeah, she's very happy with where she is.
I'm happy being a mom.
So, yeah.
But, you know, who knows where it will go from here.
But I think they'll play that out.
It'll be a distraction for a little while, I think.
Till Gregson comes back and it gets all crazy.
Yeah,
maybe she'll be pregnant again. Because it'll be like 32 and it'll be like,
two bastard children.
Two bastard children and I don't know who the daddy is.
Oh, God, two bastard children.
Wow.
Okay. If she hits three, she'll have a trifecta.
If he is some sort of cousin of the Lord Hexamer, stranger things have happened with...
Inheritances.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so suddenly he will be...
You know, what if... She equals Mary with being a mother in the next season, and I know I'm going into predictions, but whatever. And then bests her by marrying better than Mary does.
Oh, well, that can be very interesting indeed.
That would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but you know, we didn't take going
it
back real
happen,
quick. Let's talk about so Mary and Charles Blake, and Mary and Tolbert, and that. There could be another love triangle there, because I don't think Charles Blake is going to...
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about Blake.
I mean, we forgot his name already.
It took me a good 5 minutes to remember his name, I got to tell you.
We just know he was the little one.
All right, that's enough. I'm going to fight for him now, because he said that.
Nah.
Don't bother.
All right, moving on. Speaking of other things we don't want to bother with or don't really care too much about.
Oh, my God.
I want to talk the Anna Bates storyline.
Oh, jeez.
Well... Now, a lot of people are still interested. I'm not one of them. Because every time the storyline came out, I'm going, yeah, so, and, they even went so far as to have, you know, obviously we saw Mary visiting her in prison, but then we saw Bates visiting and using the exact same lines and then even talking about this, not the exact same, but very much the same lines in reverse.
When she visited him.
Exactly. And then they even talk about doing
and
that. I'm going, yeah, it's...
It's stupid.
Exactly. Yeah, hello, it's very...
And none of our jaws dropped.
All right, so the new information is that she cut her step... She will cut a bitch. Or a dude. She will cut a dude.
Oh my God.
That was amusing.
Yeah.
She cut her stepfather, and
she has a history of this.
Encounter with Green was not a first time
out of character.
Mm-hmm.
Which is terrible. Those character references would be for naught because she's done this in the past.
Your stepfather is trying to molest you. You stab him, and somehow that means you would kill
Sleep.
Sleep. Courtney took a nap during this storyline.
It starts to look bad for her.
Yes.
All the phone calls go out that say that she's going to be prosecuted because of this past history.
Yeah.
And then,
of course, Bates confesses. Which
naturally.
Was something we discussed on many occasions, that he wouldn't let that happen and he would confess or something like that.
He's confessing, he's on the lam.
Right.
And with no one with half a brain would believe anyway. But they do.
Well, because they have something in mind. Because
he wrote it down.
Well, yeah, and since he did that, it was too easy for the defense to say, hey, look, you have somebody.
Yeah.
It can't be us. So the jury would never convict somebody if somebody else has confessed to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So So there is no case that can
be. So Anna comes back. She's welcomed with open arms because everyone knows that she's not guilty.
Yeah.
And then Bates confesses, and there's the quandary of if he's guilty, then I'm innocent, and if I'm innocent, then he's guilty.
Or if I'm guilty, he's innocent.
That's what I said. If I'm guilty, then he's innocent, and if he's...
I'm innocent, oh, he's guilty. I'm,
yeah. Whatever.
It's a transitive property of logic.
Thank you. And so... so she's concerned in the end that she's going to be, you know, prosecuted again because she's only out on bail at this point.
Yes.
But then her accuser, her witness, is starting to get
second thoughts.
Have second thoughts.
Decide that maybe it wasn't her.
A midget.
And you know, we don't care about the fact. But really, the only reason why I wanted to talk about it was how nobly Moldsley stepped
that
up.
That was sweet.
That was kind of good, right?
Yeah.
You know, we,
gave him
again,
something else to do.
Exactly, because he's kind of been the...
And he got to have his little relationship.
Yeah. Again, one of our wonderful Twitter followers made up a...
Their celebrity name.
Yeah, their celebrity name, which is Baxley.
Baxley. Baxter Moseley. Baxley.
Love it. Love it. I think that was Katie who said that.
That will work.
Yeah, Katie Bailey.
Better Baxley. Than Molter or something like that.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Yeah.
Molster.
Yeah, that's not. No.
That's Baxley. So they go out and.
I love this. They went to every pub. Not every one of them, because they stopped at like 60. Yeah, but that was pretty good. Door to door to each pub that they could get to find the guy. And, you know, it was great. And they did explain it well. I mean, the guy remembered him, because of course you would remember a guy with a cane who you fought in a war with, et cetera, et cetera. Had conversations with.
For once, we believed it.
Exactly.
It was believable.
Yeah, that's true. It was believable.
Okay, sorry that I had to say that. And then Lord Grantham says, you know, you've done a fine, fine thing.
Yes.
Fine. And
they're like, thank you, sir.
Jerry.
And how can we ever repay you, right? Yeah. I can't find it in my notes, but I remember that. So that was quite lovely. And then Bates comes back.
From Ireland.
And they kiss and whatever. Okay, and so sick to death of the story. It was so powerful last season four.
Mm-hmm.
Season five, it was starting to get tiresome. And as we talked about, I was really hoping that Julian Fellowes would come up in the end in the credits and go, oh my God, you want to know who really killed Green? I'm going to tell you. I never told it. And so at this point, I mean, I didn't care weeks ago. I really don't care going into this last season. And we got sick of Bates being in jail when he was in jail. I got sick of Anna being in jail. I don't want anybody to be in jail anymore.
Yeah.
I had a slight hope for an unfortunate hunting accident this season because we had hunting but none of the principals were involved.
Nope.
But whatever, turn the page, I'm done.
Well, I feel like he has to still do something because he has to redeem himself because this was a disaster.
He who, Julian Fellowes?
Yes.
Well, but what he's going to...
The storyline
was a disaster.
But he's going to have to rekindle our ire and our, you know, our defense of Anna and her, you know... Purity or whatever you want to call it. Because, you know, the fact that she was victimized is so in the past right now that all of the, you know, righteousness that all of us fans were feeling as she was becoming a victim has fallen away. He trifled with us through this season. No. I'm going to say it. I'm sorry. But he did.
He trifled with us.
I look at John and he's like,
he trifled with us
this season. And the fact that there was no resolution, I don't care anymore. I haven't cared all season. So he's going to have to rekindle our devotion to Anna in order to make it satisfying. Otherwise, you know, let it drop away and stop
talking
about it.
Maybe that's the commentary, though, that the rape or things like that would happen and people are angry and what is she supposed to do, but in the end there's nothing really that can be done or happen for them because they are not women of a certain class and they don't mean anything, and that's why.
And it happened every
day. It's the most unfulfilling, like, nobody's going to get gotten for it or justice won't be served because
I think that's a very solid
some people say justice was served in the sense that
he died.
Green is dead.
But he's dead, like, very not satisfyingly.
Again, one of our Twitter followers talked about that it's a gambling debt, that Gillingham had gambling challenges. So let's just put on record, Katie, that you think it was a gambling debt.
It's going to be the new guy that Mary's dating.
Okay.
That's up to sketchy.
Talk about a coincidence. Anyway, my whole point is that we were so riled up about Anna being victimized by Green and that whole scenario. Mm-hmm. The way that this played out was so unsatisfying that, and I think that's a really valid point that you make, that, you know, that's how the truth is. But you know what? This isn't truth. This is TV. Mm-hmm. And
what?
I would.
What? Wait.
It's not how it actually happened. It's drama.
It's real life.
And I would have liked for it to be more satisfying. And I still, you know, wished that it was an unfortunate hunting accident. Months and months. Well, last season.
Still waiting on my jaw to drop.
Well, so even the Holly him
coming
back.
Yeah, my jaw never dropped. Thank you.
I'm still waiting.
Thank you.
Let me know. Okay.
Hello.
But so the satisfying moment between Bates and Anna at the end there didn't work?
It wasn't really satisfying. It was kind of just like...
Well, isn't that nice? Let's move on. What else is happening?
Because we keep doing the same crap.
That Courtney opens this podcast by saying that when she watched it, she was like, but this storyline, she's like, so, that pretty much says it all for me.
That says it all.
Okay, there you go. All right, so
I think it was a misstep.
I've said from the beginning it was a misstep not to show them overcoming everything instead of the way you could. But that's what he did. That's what he chose to do. So let's move on to Spratt and Dinker.
Spratt and Dinker.
No. Because I was surprised to see that they actually kept the storyline going.
I thought it was adorable.
But they did, and I was like, all right, okay, great. You know, so we got to see more of Spratt being highly indignant and obnoxious, and Dinker being self-righteous in a sense. You know, it's like, I can do it.
I can make a broth, for God's sake.
It's not that hard.
Don't be ridiculous.
It's all surrounding a broth.
Do you take up the challenge of the wooden spoon?
Yeah. Oh my God!
Take up that challenge.
And then one of my favorite moments in the whole episode, and I had a lot of them, was the first time we see that fight continuing, and Violet is she's having Isabel over for tea, and then we realize that they're going to continue the fight, and the scene ends, and the last thing you see is Violet just throwing up her arms, going, "Oh my God!"
Right? She literally throws up her hands.
What?
Exactly. I was just going, "Oh, this is great," because even she is having a hard. You know, she's like, I can't even control her own people.
Well, her opening line about, you know, Lord Grantham talking about Mary visiting Anna in prison. And Lord Grantham says, come on, you can't say that you wouldn't defend Dinker in prison. She's like, only to make sure the locks were tight or whatever it was she said, were secure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't find good help these days.
That is nice. That's nice.
Funny.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so the whole broth fiasco, and Dinker can't make it, so she goes, you know, and this was nice, she goes over to Pat.
Not only can she not make it, it's stinky.
Yeah. Bad. What were you putting in
that
there?
That was pretty good. But Daisy's the one that comes up with the plan.
Yes.
Nice. I'll make it for you. We'll give you the fix it so you can pretend to put on a whole show and the whole thing.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's not enough to thwart.
No.
Spratt figures
it
out.
You will not fool me.
How about Spratt and his, you know, his...
pores.
Oh, my God. The look on his face is just, there you go. It's like, wow. These guys, their turf is so important to them.
It is.
I mean, but they didn't have anything else.
I know, but it just cracks me. It's so small-minded, but I love it. I mean, it's hysterical to watch.
You know, you got things you got to do. You got to create importance.
Keep life interesting. Mm-hmm.
So Dinker makes a broth.
Oh,
she lifts the thing off and is like, woo, that
even
is
she knows
stinky.
It's revolting.
She knows it's terrible.
Yeah. She knows.
Violet comes in, the Dowager Countess.
Oh, let me try it.
The way she said it's delicious.
Delicious. Sprat's like, you lie.
Yeah, and he's not even, he doesn't believe it. Can't believe it. It's impossible. You know? And I thought for sure he was going to dive right in to taste it himself.
Yeah.
But no. Could do that. So.
She wobbled out.
And what, you know, it all came down to that Violet hates dissension.
Dissension
she's like,
in the house.
Shut
she will
up.
Not.
Yep. Shut them up.
I don't like dissension.
Yes. And by the way, like why don't dissension. We I'm not hungry enough to do your broth honor, right?
We don't need it every day.
I'll have it later.
It might turn before I am ready
to do it.
That was nice, though. I like that little storyline between the
cute.
Two of them. You get to have some
very
nice,
cute.
Very good fun to alleviate
it
some of
really
the crazy.
It really is funny how all the intrigue is going on at all times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing is as it seems and is out front. It's all like, okay, what just happened here? Mm-hmm. What am I supposed to be doing? Whose team am I on?
Yeah.
With everyone, upstairs, downstairs, royalty, mm-hmm. lordship, landed, or a cook.
Yeah.
It's all going on
the
undertones, and I love it.
Well, you got to do stuff when you didn't have TV.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That moves us to the next storyline, which is Violet and Kerrigan.
Oh,
talk about going
the
on.
Prince.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was great. Oh, okay, so Violet,
that
of course,
woman.
Has got Shrimpy to help find the princess and,
yes.
and bring her back.
Indiana.
So they, she saved her and stuff. Indiana. And they're going to have a big dinner between with the prince and the princess present so they can see each other after 5 years of not seeing each other.
I loved her checking in with Isabel and saying, you'll be there
oh, yeah.
in advance,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Because
mm-hmm.
you've got my back is essentially what
yes,
she's saying,
exactly.
right?
I love it.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
They are BFFs.
So, but this is the kind of thing I'm talking about because for so long they've had those people bicker at
yes.
each other, meaning Violet and Isabel.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, that's been fun too.
It
but it was
fun.
Nice to see their, that's what I was talking
yes.
about between the sisters. Can't we move something them into
nah.
a different room? No.
They're still young.
Not for you.
They're still too young.
Yeah, no, they're not
they're
young.
Not
they're 35 for crying
they're
out loud.
Married,
get over it.
And they're young and they're, yeah.
They haven't had
yeah.
enough heartbreak.
No,
enough life
yeah.
experience.
Now, you know, that being said, you know, next series, I'm sure the Dowager and Isabel are going to be at it again. You know. But it's great to see them having each other and being supportive and being friends.
Well,
and,
because there was a little bit of you know, challenge to that relationship
sure.
as Isabel was considering marrying up, essentially.
Yeah, but that's she found a way through that. I mean,
yes, she did.
And I think, I'm just saying, I thought that was a smart move to move that relationship on because it's much more interesting when it's textured right as opposed to the same thing every freaking time.
No, and to see them as allies because mm-hmm. in a certain way we root for
right.
each of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And to see them as allies with knowing everything about each other, right?
Still,
so I know
right.
some of your dirty laundry. I'm going to learn some more of it in a little bit.
And they still disagree.
Yes.
They don't agree with each other's position.
Oh, there's still some of this.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Going on.
But,
what did you say?
Yeah, it's much more layered, and I just think it's way more interesting to watch.
But that's because they're
it was
in
fantastic.
A different place in life.
Yeah,
loved
yeah,
it.
I don't care. I think the other ones are
they've
just
seen
ridiculous
other stuff.
And stupid.
But
and
they've only been in the castle of Downton forever, and all they have is that little unit. She's been to Russia and fell in love and ran
that's
away.
True.
And
speaking of that, let's get back
yeah,
to the princess.
So let's speak of that.
So the princess
the
comes
princess.
And boy, is she a wet
she's
mop.
A bitter.
Sour.
Betty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sour. All caps is
exactly.
what I wrote.
Bitter Betty.
And I love Isabel and Lord Merton going, I'd love to go to Russia. Isn't it nice to be in Paris? Oh my God. What about this soup? Isn't this an incredible dip?
Mm-hmm. How British. Be so polite and kind and trying to keep sweet.
Well, and that's what Violet talked about. Yeah. Our only guarantee of civility.
Oh, yeah.
Strangers or whatever.
Oh, yes, the presence of strangers is the only guarantee for good behavior.
I pretty much got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good job. Thank you, Courtney.
I got that one.
Yeah. She's so rude, the princess.
Well, you know, and again, from where she's come from, I mean, can you really blame her?
True.
Because, you know, and she also is carrying the knowledge that we don't know yet
right.
of what happened
what
between
their history is.
Violet and the prince.
Mm. But still have some kind of gracious
yeah,
attitude.
Right.
She gave you a new dress.
Thank you for the you know. Yeah.
She's like, I lost the will to live.
Yeah.
Like, she's awful.
I do think,
well,
though, that...
Remember where she was.
Yeah.
I mean, last thing we knew, she was in some...
She wasn't a hooker.
She was a nurse.
She was a nurse.
A nurse.
She was rubbing toes.
In a whorehouse.
Wow. Okay, but hey, she had a house.
Okay.
She had a house.
I have to say, as Westerners, whether it's British or Americans, that, you know, my brain is sort of conditioned against that swallowing the L that they do with a Russian accent. Can you do
oh,
I,
oh,
I know.
Oh. Oh. Yeah, I see.
You know, I thank you.
For
I loved my
friends.
You know, and so, you know, watching her talk just, it's, first of all, it sounded like...
Natasha.
Thank you. Natasha and Boris. And I don't even remember what that was because I was a tiny little kid. It sounded so silly. And also, you just kind of are like, really?
She looked scary.
She did look scary. And her disdain that she was throwing at everybody in the
yeah.
room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we were ready to not like her.
And she served that purpose well.
Yes, she yeah. did. Yes, she did.
She did a fine job at getting us to not be happy with her or like
mm-hmm.
her in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. True.
And it made us understand the prince.
Isn't a fan either.
But didn't it make you understand the prince so much more?
Oh, yeah.
Because he's like, yeah, no
like,
wonder
why
he
was.
Yeah,
why do you want to find her?
Yeah, exactly.
The last 5 years have been fantastic without
you.
I'm good. I'm broken.
I'm good.
Okay.
And his desire to still want to run away with Violet.
I know.
He's been pining for that for 60 years.
I know.
Okay,
and then
so.
I cried.
I
almost cried when Violet was sitting in the chair and she goes, I'll never again receive an immoral proposition from a man.
Ever.
Like,
yeah.
ever.
Mm-hmm. And was I so wrong to savor it?
So broken.
Yeah.
fascinating, though, to finally hear the story. And it was incredibly dramatic. Yes. When we did hear the story,
carriage.
She was literally dragged out of the carriage.
From the carriage.
And what I loved about it was that Violet understood that the princess actually saved her from a horrible fate.
From the abyss, as she calls it.
Well, and not only the sort of psychological abyss, but the path that the princess ended up taking is the path that Violet would have taken as opposed to the path that she did take. It was earth-shattering.
Yeah. That was a jaw-dropper, right? To hear that story?
It was a jaw-dropper.
Yeah, yeah. In a horrible way, because I was kind of like, really? Would it have been that bad? I mean,
maybe
they both would have been dethroned, like, because they couldn't be in their spaces.
Who knows?
And
it could have been them against the world and all that kind of stuff.
They could have, like, moved to Indonesia somewhere and been happy.
Could have been.
Well, it's really quite sad, though, to see...
But she wouldn't have her children and all that.
She wouldn't have her children.
So that
would be
and to see the prince so downtrodden and, you know, and still... completely devoted to her.
Duty.
It was very sad. Yeah. No, I mean to Violet.
To Violet,
You know, to really, like, I still would love to be with you. After 16 years, are you kidding?
Yeah, and he still, in his own way, doesn't understand her. She even says that you would if you tried.
Why would you give up?
And stuff like that. And you know, from his perspective, I'm going, I don't understand you either. What do you, but, you know, she's caught in that caste system, so to speak.
Ooh. Yes.
And is unwilling to move out of that.
I mean, you should have seen the lady and been like.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, he has the perspective of, look, I've been forced out of that world, so now
everything.
I know
it's
okay out here, and you haven't been, so so there's that.
Yeah.
But I especially like what you said about that moment when she says that I'm never going to have this again.
It's terrible.
It is. It was really, but that was one of those great moments in this particular episode where you just went, wow, they went there, and it worked. I mean, they really hit that home, and I thought that was a terrific.
She's like a full person, because you're still, you have all your feelings. Just because she's old doesn't mean she's lost anything in her emotions, and it was just...
it was really sad, too. Because you realize that part of your life, it is gone.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
until then, you might not have, it wasn't in your awareness, or you
you're
might think there's still hope.
Until
but no,
you feel it again.
Yeah.
Well, and
felt it.
I
don't know if we want to make the transition to Isabel, but it's a similar scenario with Isabel because she's been given this sort of, can I go there?
Yeah.
Okay. This last, chance at happiness. We've been talking about that since, you know, the last episode, that she's been given a chance at happiness with Lord Merton.
Right.
And she loves him, he loves her, but his son, freaking Larry, is in the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That
and
letter.
Yeah, but Larry's the one who.
Yeah, the letter from Larry.
Can you help?
That's all right. So, since it's the same kind of storyline, let's go to Isabel right now as well.
Yeah.
Because they both were talking about this, Violet, and I mean, that's the one thing.
And their sort of year in review.
You know, and we'll get to that part of the storyline. But so, Isabel's decided that she can't come between a father and his son.
Right,
yes.
And that she's not going to spend her last years. Worrying about or living in that loathing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, again, that goes back to, in a sense, the duty of it all because she, I mean, there's that. And I was just going, oh, man, even Isabel, who usually is the more progressive of all of them.
Absolutely. That was the exact word that was in my head.
And she's going, oh, and I'm just going, please, just tell the sons it's piss off.
Yeah. But in the same note, I kind of felt like it still made her progressive by not, like, just accepting what they're going to do and, like, marrying this man because that's what he wants really badly and she does want to be with somebody because she's like, I don't want to be miserable for the rest of my life coming between you guys and having to deal with that kind
absolutely.
Of conflict.
That
I'm happy.
Part is clear.
I'm okay by myself and I would love to be with you, but you can't fix that, so I'm just going to be fine.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the... Well, and the truth of it is... When she had those moments, when Isabel has those moments with Lord Merton, you know, two things were happening. I'm thinking about Lord Merton. I'm going, here's this guy, and he truly loves her.
He does.
You can see that and he even confesses that he wasn't very good to his first wife.
Right.
And so here is his last shot at happiness, and he's not going to get it either because of his son's being horrible.
Yeah, being wretched, selfish,
shallow, childish. Yeah, and I'm just going. Doesn't any of the adults stand up and say, "Forget the kids"?
Nobody grows up until you're 60.
You know, the marrying for love thing is an incredibly modern
thing.
True. You know, because especially within the aristocracy, it was all about combining our houses and creating our power and our wealth and all that kind of stuff, and. But, you know, interesting because these kids are actually talking about, I don't want you to replace my mother, which is an emotional
connection.
Response. But, I mean, it's so childish. And, again, they're 35 for crying out loud.
Turn the big house for all 35 years.
Yeah, they don't have the same perspective that they...
But, again, I get that. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm also saying, you're the father.
Yeah.
Be the father.
Yes.
Well, he was. But yeah, he just tells his kids,
screw off. I'm disowning you. Too bad. You're not getting anything.
Okay, so the fact that there were a couple of months in between the letter and when Lord Merton learned about the letter, and she says to him, that's final as if you had spat in my eye.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
Which was so sad.
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
He was like...
So, but the thing is that because there was that time jump that he was not party to, or privy to, rather, you know, does that invalidate his sort of ability to say to his kid, no, you can't do that, I'm doing it anyway?
No, he could say that anytime. Okay.
Yeah, he could do it anyway.
But he can't make Isabel do it.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't mind that they decided to part ways. I think it's great TV, and that's fine.
We want Doctor back.
But I'm still going, it's like, why would you, who cares? Why would you give a crap about the kids?
Because you don't want them.
Well, here's the thing, the kids, how often
it makes
do the
Christmas really
they're adults,
awkward.
They're off in their own world. So don't
Who's
have Christmas
take care
with them.
Of you when you're really old and decrepit
that's my
and
point
can't do
is
anything.
You have a few years left. Go enjoy them with the person you want to enjoy them with. You have enough money. Hire people to take care of you. Why do
you
need the kids?
That's true. You could hire.
Why do you need these kids? They're ungrateful. They don't, if they really loved their father, they wouldn't be doing this. So what good are they?
Oh. Just throw the kids away.
Exactly.
John.
Throw them away.
Shut them in the attic and let them out when they're 101,
right.
As Mary would say.
You've raised horrible sons. Acknowledge it. Move on. That's it.
You failed at your job.
That's right.
Try
you did.
Again with love at least.
You did.
I don't know. I just think that, I think that's a... I obviously agree with you. I'm pretty sure Courtney agrees with you.
I think it's a very modern idea.
Thank you. That was the next thing I was going to say. Yeah. So...
Even you send your kids off to boarding school. You don't see them for years.
But
you can't send them off now?
But when they have that kind of disdain for the person, it just causes all kinds of problems. It's just not worth
cut
the energy.
The cord,
that's why
on.
Isabel's like, I'm good. I'll drink my tea and hang out with my girl.
And as Violet says, Dr. Clarkson will be thrilled.
Yeah, exactly. That part of it I love. That part of it I think, you know, again, I didn't mind either way because I like Dr. Clarkson. I think they're a great match.
Yeah.
But I felt horrible for Merton because I thought, you know, this guy was kind of
I love you.
Yeah, he was terrific. But
he actually said those words, which we don't really hear. And he's in misery without her. Yeah. That's so sad.
Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Mm-hmm. But Dr. Clarkson will be thrilled.
Yes, and that'll be fun to see. Because they did seem, you know, we were pining like crazy to have them together.
We were.
And then she just dropped him like a bad habit.
Yeah. And that's going to be weird. How's they going to mend that fence?
Something else will happen.
He's probably still carrying a torch.
They'll
nurse
people together and find love over old feet.
All right.
What do we have?
We got to get back to this because we have a little time left. And I wanted to get to it was done like...
So
but this episode was done in like two acts. The first act, a much longer act. The second act, a shorter act, which is all Christmas 1924. Because it was a Christmas special. Let's get to Christmas. They set the stage great by showing Downton with the snow and the inside with all the fixings that we talked about before. Tree. Yeah, exactly. They're putting the, you know, dress in the tree and all that kind of stuff.
Apparently Mary's a singer.
Isn't it interesting that Cora didn't sing? Cora, who is literally a singer in a band, she didn't sing.
Yeah.
But I suppose you have to have the ingenue sing.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And your sister accompanying you.
And your sister accompanying
off
you.
Off to the side.
Off to the side, oh, by the tree, behind the piano.
As is
put
their
the pretty
way.
One on the microphone.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay. The couple of scenes that I really wanted to talk about. I want to start with...
I can't even talk to you right
now. Yeah, exactly. I want to start with the ladies, meaning Isabel and Dowager, when they secret themselves away in the little room.
I love it! Yeah. I love that!
Let's get away while we can.
And I thought that's just so right, because every time you have one of those big things, you find a place.
I try to hide.
Come here, you, me, let's go.
You bring your best buddy out. You have, you know, you're talking together, and I just thought that was a great, great scene together. They're talking about how they've had proposals and propositions, and I thought, oh man, that was a good scene. It was just when you think about the episode, you're going, that's what you want it to be.
Yes.
And that, for me, it was so perfect.
I
like the scene between the two of them a lot.
It was a nice little stamp on their whole season of growth of love.
And I don't have anything else to say about the scene except that I thought it was great, and I'm so thankful that they included it.
And adorably interrupted by a drunk.
Exactly. Which is so like a Christmas party, right?
Hey, how are y'all doing in here?
I'm going to go do a speech. Come on.
Exactly. It gave me great hope for their relationship for next series.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that they keep that thing going and as it's been progressing now.
Right, because there's been this balance of snarkiness and competition, and now the cementing of their relationship because they're very similar situations. Yeah. I loved it, loved it, loved it. And I loved that we got some great humor from each of them.
And you could see them, I could watch those gals together just
all the time.
It would be a crazy one, but wouldn't it be fun?
The grand ladies of Downton.
Exactly.
I love it.
Now, the other scene at which I thought was just fabulous was the scene in the nursery.
So don't even talk about
the
it
The scene
too much.
In the nursery when they're there with the putting the little stockings on the bed. And the three of them, and they're talking about, let's give a thought to Sybil.
Think about Sybil.
And I was just like,
I am going to choke up because Tom is talking about, the three of us who loved her the most.
Right. And should have grown old.
That was the thing.
That was the thing that killed you, didn't it?
Yeah. Because it's like, what about the parents? No, we were supposed to grow old.
Yeah. And I was like, oh man, I can't.
Such a truth in that. That's just different. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now that's the kind of relationship I want them to keep moving forward.
They will eventually, but they have to stay.
The sisters even held hands, for crying out loud.
They touched each other. That was huge.
The prayer/speech that Mary made, my dear Sybil, wherever you are, and all that kind
of
stuff.
The happiest
was just
of happy Christmases and stuff. Yeah. That was a killer scene. It was just so tender, so raw and intimate, and just a wonderful scene. And it's been so long in the coming, and that was terrific.
Yeah.
Also, the moment when
broken by a drunk.
But he was still watching.
So what he said, he was sort of, you don't know how long he was there.
No,
he could have seen the whole thing.
Right.
And he's like, are you sure you don't want to leave Sybil?
He was like, no.
And Tom's response, which was, I love the way you love her.
Yeah. Kill you, right?
No, I've only got like 5 tears on my face right now.
Good.
Sybil's death was I think way more gut-wrenching than Matthew's death.
Agreed.
It was for me. Yeah.
And not to demean Matthew's death because it was important, but it was just unexpected and so
too soon.
Right.
For such a She was not what any of them were.
Right.
She was the personification of kindness and lovingness and all that. And it's that tragedy of losing, someone young and someone so beautiful in so many ways. And, to have this tribute to her was incredibly touching. And that, I love the way you love her. I just thought sort of encapsulated the whole our relationship with Sybil.
It really is a testament to the writing and the acting because he just has to call that back and we're there. That is still so ingrained and indelible in our minds.
And all
the
little beds in there.
Yeah, it was terrific. Yeah, it was just such a...
Too much.
And I'm going, this is why I like the show. I love that they're not afraid to go there.
Yes.
And when they do, it's very successful. I mean, for me, it was just terrific.
They did great.
All right. So, and then the other one that I thought was very touching was the send-off to Tom.
Yeah.
With Lord Grantham and the whole
thing. So we have drunk Lord Grantham.
Because drunk Lord Grantham gets saved by Tom.
So back up a little bit. In the 3 months or however long it was before, you have an ulcer, so you have to lay off the drink.
Right.
Steady on! What do you mean?
No, I'm not.
I can't drink. I can't eat no meat.
What? Yeah.
Hey, wait a minute.
Not until Christmas Eve. He's still negotiating.
So, right, you know, we had a lot of criticisms about Lord Grantham the season, a series, and, you know, talking about how he was kind of mamby-pamby, and he was a little bit ridiculous with Cora, and, you know.
And the whole painting, La Francesca.
Della Francesca, which earned quite a sum.
Yes,
apparently.
It did.
That's
allowed him to have a new footman at Christmas. Mm-hmm. Yay. You know, so for him to redeem himself, I think was really great. And, you know, the opportunity for him to let go a little bit with getting drunk off of, like,
for months. He hasn't touched a drop for months.
And so he becomes the jolly drunk who is making negotiations and giving speeches.
Yeah, or trying to. Of course, that's when Tom comes in and saves the day there.
Yeah.
Just like Rose did, he jumps right to it.
Yeah.
And then has no sense.
So sad.
But then his send-off, I thought, was very touching.
Yes. And but poignant. You're just like, but that's, you're now the son. You can't leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a big old sad face on my notes. You know, Downton is my home.
Yes.
And this, you know, for a dad, Lord Grantham, who's got just freaking girls everywhere around him.
All over the place.
You know, the opportunity to, it's taken him a long time, and he acknowledges that. For Sybil to see this and see that I, you know, welcome you as a son to this family, really adds credibility to that relationship. It makes us, you know, we've always loved Tom, but, you know, to see Lord Grantham love him makes it that much more impactful for all of us. And then, you know, the idea that Tom's going to leave, we don't know for sure that he's going to.
Yeah.
Series 6.
Right, but I mean, they set it up that then, no, he's gone. But who knows? You never know.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Maybe there will be a big contract in his future.
Yes. He'll be like, oh, I tried it in Boston.
He'll be Hail the Conquering Hero. He'll make a huge splash in Boston. It'll be Hail the Conquering Hero. He'll come back with some shady girl worse than
the bunker. Or whatever her name was.
Dummy Bunting, as John called her.
Dummy Bunting. Affectionately. No, we'll get into that predictions. All right, so that was a wonderful thing. And then, you know, just the little things here and there, like, for instance, Daisy making goo-goo eyes at Andrew. It's like, what?
We're
going to start that going.
I'm sorry, we left something out of the Isabel and Violet moment she says, she saved me from the abyss.
Oh, that, yeah.
And Isabel says, and you've never strayed.
Yeah.
And
that's
Violet
not what he
says,
asked.
That's not, I, what did she say? I've never risked everything. That's not what I asked. That's all you're going to get.
We are the Edwardians.
We were the Edwardians after all. So. Okay, sorry. I just had to cover that. That was
thank you for running it.
Yeah. Saucy.
She said the whole life that we don't know yet. And we'll never know because she's not going to give it up.
No, she is not.
So, all right. Let's get to our last thing that I want to talk about, which is obviously the Hughes Carson story.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Hey, wait.
Courtney, what would you like to say about this?
I'm sorry. The two of them made that last little moment like the best thing I've seen in a long time on TV. Carson was like freaking Paddington Bear. He was like, do you love me?
I want to be stuck with you.
Exactly. But he was like so bashful about it, and just like it was just so well executed. You guys are amazing.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed.
And I don't get all sentimental about the TVs like that.
I do.
It was too much.
But so we finished last series with them holding hands.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that
and
was
leaning
like amazing.
And leaning on each other by the sea. And so we end up this series with him saying, you know, and she says, if you think that I'm asking you to marry me, I am. Are you offended?
Yeah. Am I offended? Yeah. It's the last thing she's offended.
Because I am not marrying anyone else. How perfect and how beautiful for the two of them. Of course, I'll marry you.
You are. Thank you, Stephen.
Boobie. I thought you would never ask.
We all thought that, but they finally did. Did anybody know when they were doing the storyline about the houses and all that? I'm assuming that most people knew that they were leading to that.
At
some point
it was
gonna,
and we hoped.
Yeah, I honestly didn't expect it in this particular episode because they had everything else going on.
Yeah, I wasn't sure we were going to get there that fast.
Yeah, like, but then when it happened, it was like, what? It's, oh, it's happening. Oh, my God. It's happening
like,
now.
Well, and it's reminiscent of, you know, the connection that we kept hoping for with Anna and Bates.
Right.
Yes. Remember? Yeah. You know, when we, you know, mm-hmm. and it was, so, you know, that difficult scenario where you don't exactly know what your standing is in life or with this other person.
Yeah. But it's so fascinating that she's, I mean, the whole thing, we got to learn about her backstory with her sister and her sister, Kathy, excuse me, Becky.
Becky.
And her special needs and all the stuff. And that, she has no money, and that's why she never would even think of the idea that they actually would get married, because who would want me at this point? Because I can't bring anything to the marriage, that kind of stuff.
And but so there was no hint of that. She's freaking huge. She can bring everything to a relationship. She is his support.
Yes.
You know, in work. And so why not be that
right, but
as the future comes?
But I get from her perspective. No, of course. She you know,
this
I just thought,
touches
oh,
on
my
how
God.
The women and the
okay, so there's Courtney's three things. The beginning of the show, it's like, ah. Oh. Like, then oh. with that, it's like, eh. And then this is.
I don't have words. Yeah. I apologize.
That's a very difficult thing on a podcast. So
I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry.
A couple days went by between when it came out and when I could watch the show, and I was getting tweets from fans, and they were like, wait till the last few minutes. Yeah. Wait till you will forgive and everything.
And did you?
Absolutely, I did.
Nothing wrong with Downton Abbey in my brain at all
anymore. No.
Nothing. Not even how goofy looking Gilligan was.
Right.
Yes, Gillingham.
Gillingham was. Well,
to you, he was a Gillingham.
He was a Gillingham.
So, it really did cement it for you.
Yeah.
That was the best thing you'd seen in a long time.
He bought her a house. He bought her a house. And surprised that he essentially got on his knee and said, I have a house for you and I want to make the rest of my life with you.
Because I am not marrying anyone else.
A woman who only anticipated just working until death.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
In somebody else's house. Mm-hmm. That.
So that'd do it for you?
Drop the mic.
The whole episode really, you know, from what we talked about in the beginning, I just, you know, I love the beauty and the splendor of the Christmas episodes. I'm so glad that they ended at Christmas.
Right.
You know, because last series we didn't. And, yeah, we were in the springtime, and it was so nice because, you know, the English and we and I, I'm just going to speak for me, am very sentimental about the Christmas time and all of the, you know, all the things that can happen, you know, snow and Christmas trees and, you know, red dresses and all
that. There's magic from that baby Jesus.
Oh, well, completely delivered for sure.
Yeah. It did. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. I have nothing more to say about
that. But I think we need to do predictions.
Oh, we do need to do predictions. Yes, absolutely. We're going to go move on to the predictions.
And now, your After Buzz TV prediction.
Can I start? Because I've got a list.
Why don't you jump in, Tamara?
Should I, please? Okay, so I already talked about, you know, there's this inequity between Mary and Edith because Mary believes it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I would predict that at least for part of Series 6, which has been rumored in the press to be the last series.
Yeah.
Not confirmed by any means, and some of us hope that it won't be the last series, but it could be. So what if there was a flip in circumstances between Mary and Edith?
Okay.
So Mary kind of being, you know, the moneyed widow with all the prospects. And already being a mother, and Edith coming up going, you know what, I'm a mother too, and look, I've got all these prospects too. So I think that might be an interesting flip. Daisy, we foreshadowed it a little bit, with perhaps her being a cook. I forgot to talk about this, but we have a slight little bit of news. Mrs. Patmore, Leslie Nichols, moved to Los Angeles.
What?
Yeah, she did. She lives in the Hollywood Hills. Maybe we should go over and have drinks with her at some
totally
point.
I would totally want to hang out with you.
I would too.
We'll make her some broth and bring it over.
She is returning for Series 6. But she has a brother in South Carolina, and she wants to become a U.S. citizen. Now, this is according to the Daily Mail, of course. So.
Yeah, so, okay, we'll hold on that. So the whole point about it is that were to be the case, and she wasn't a part of the entire
season, and maybe
Daisy, because they're already putting her as, you know, she's making broth on her own, she's stepping up, she's not necessarily, she even talked about not wanting to necessarily continue her studies. Because what would be the point to her? But who knows? Maybe she would step into the greater role of being
maybe be the precursor to Julia Child and write a cookbook.
Ooh.
okay. could happen. We're not going, you know, in theory, we're not going to have Tom. We're not going to have Rose, possibly, or Atticus, because all of them are going to America. New York and Boston. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where is it going to go from there? I don't really know.
Because we were even postulating, we don't even know what time. We don't know how far we're going to jump in the future, because it would be interesting. I was saying, geez, we're 1924.
It's got to be after the crash.
That's what I'm saying. Very close, because the whole thing is how the downfall of this society, or the change of this society,
which is why Tom is going to come back.
Exactly.
Because it's going to crash. Yes. It's not going to be great.
Yes.
It's going to be like, what's the point?
Yes.
But
then
we'll get back and try to help the house.
And how is that going to survive?
Exactly.
So that would be very, very interesting.
Tom is coming back.
5 years down the road and stuff like that. If we were to go that route, that I think that would be a great, you know, because we started with one calamity.
Mm-hmm.
If it was to be the end, it would be
a huge calamity.
Exactly.
And then the whole thing ends in World War II.
Yeah, so. That would be
Do you end the entire series with
in the depression?
In the midst of the depression?
Well,
Julian Fellowes.
No,
let's
but
just
what it is Julian Fellowes, he wanted to talk about or to demonstrate this period of time and what happened to this class.
Absolutely.
And this way of life. And that would be the thing that
the
would change
that
it forever.
Really changed it.
We'd started in this particular moment. And then so what you would end with is how it kind of fractured and it became something else. It doesn't have to be necessarily a bad thing for people.
Mm-hmm.
This way of life is gone, and Downton may be gone, but not these people might have they'll have their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, they'll be better for some and not for others.
Yes.
So that would be very layered and textured, which is what he's always done throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, but you know, his way is, at least with this show, is ending on something hopeful,
except for the death of Matthew.
Oh. Well, the hopefulness will be that
the hope was in their child.
Move.
Okay, all right.
There was still hope because Mary had just had a baby.
I don't think the crash is definitely, because look, everybody knows what came out of it.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a horrible thing.
But they've sort of been working up to being able to deal with how that is going to change their lives. So maybe the whole point will end up being that they are in a position, and it's different and it sucks in some ways and doesn't in others, but they're able to cope and they keep moving forward.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, but I just think it's such a rich thing to have to deal with.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely it is. It was so devastating, though, you know, in America, and so many lives were changed incredibly dramatically by the Depression.
Here's the thing, history-wise, I have no idea how it affected
the English.
I don't.
I don't know.
Well, it
That's
did.
True. Well, I just know
I
that
know,
it
I just
did
don't know
a
to
lot,
what degree.
But I don't know to what degree, like what their lives and
exactly.
what
well,
happened.
And
so
I don't,
it'll be interesting.
I don't think logistically they can go from, was it 19... I don't remember, 1916 or whatever, when 14, mm-hmm. when the Downton Abbey began.
12.
Okay, to
30?
To 1930. That's going to be a hard jump logistically with your actors.
Well, we've been talking about how they haven't aged at all.
Yeah. How old is the dowager going to be
years.
In
the
19?
The dowager wouldn't
That's
be
true.
There,
it's only
which
five
is
more
why
years.
It would be sad.
It is only five more years. But and Maggie Smith is going to be on the show until its finale.
Cool. I appreciate that.
But I think that the going into the depression is absolutely a great opportunity for conflict and a great opportunity for story.
But you know, even if they turn it around, it starts in January 1925. Plenty of stuff that they can deal with.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it from a whole global
world historical
point
perspective.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
But he always finds wonderful historical things as the backdrop for something.
True.
So
he
I'm
does.
Sure he'll find whatever it is, whatever year.
He does.
And
he does.
That change will finally give you what you want from Edith and Mary.
Thank you so
like,
much.
Like, they need a real life
they did
altering
yeah,
event.
Something.
Yeah. And
so
I think the crash might do it for them.
Exactly,
well,
yeah.
And Gregson is going to come back up.
Yes.
We've been predicting that for a long time.
I haven't. I think this, the Henry Tolbert, I think will definitely be
back.
Yeah. A player.
Back.
I honestly think that if I'm doing Fellows and I hear everybody's upset
you
about Charles Blake and not being enough and all of a sudden, and he brings this guy in, people are going to go, oh, my God. Yeah, he'll use
Of course you're
going to
bring him back.
You better bring him back.
Yeah.
You'd be a fool not to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and I think that would be wonderful. I'd love to see them go toe-to-toe for a while.
Just quickly, did you guys see the Text Santa with George Clooney?
Oh, right.
Mini films.
Yes.
Very fun, right?
Yeah.
Very cute.
Cute, silly, exactly what we wanted from that. Mm-hmm. Yes. I, you know, I just have to say, again, as much as we criticize this series, people tweeted me as it was airing in the UK. They made up for it with a Christmas special.
They sure
for
did.
Me. They really did.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We love you, Dan Abby, and we love you, Julian Fellows.
All right.
It made me sad thinking that the next one is the last one.
And we've got like 9 months to wait.
I don't want to think about that part.
Okay.
But I will wait.
All right.
We'll just keep watching reruns.
Any other last thoughts before we say goodbye?
Last thoughts. Keep it up, guys.
Yeah.
Up,
guys. I want Rose to come back.
Yeah, it would be nice. She did a really good job with her.
Can't wait for Cinderella to come back.
If they're moving to New York, that'd be great after the
trash. Let's do it in New York.
There you go.
Yes.
Let's go to New York.
Let's go to New York for a little while.
Where can they find you?
At Twitter.
Stuart Starlet.
She knows about it. I was like, wait, at my house?
What?
Stuart Starlet. Yes.
You can find me at Tamara Berg on Twitter. My website is TamaraCentral.com. The Glug recipe is there. You can find it.
And it's very good, guys.
Delish.
Okay, well, you won't find me here, and you won't find me for another 9 months.
John and I are both going to do Justified.
We'll do Justified.
Okay.
Maybe something else.
Yeah.
I'll watch you guys.
So, all right, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been an awesome series.
Especially for all your comments. We love those.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Cup of tea.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.